Good morning. Last time, we started with Ezra 1 to 6. Today, we're starting in Ezra 7, and we'll see if we get through into Nehemiah today or not. If not, that'll wait for another day. The thing we saw last time was that they were getting a fresh start, as God's people often get. And their fresh start was going back to Jerusalem after being in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And even though they got some grief from the locals who had sort of moved in, I mean, think of it, if you moved away from your house for 70 years, somebody else would have moved into the neighborhood and might be a little upset if you come back and claim your land and start getting big and powerful and outvoting them at City Hall and that kind of thing. Well, that's the type of thing that happened with them. They got some grief from the locals, but the Lord protected them. And after letters back and forth, to the kings of Persia then, Cyrus and Darius, they were allowed to continue to rebuild the temple. So they did that and completed it. And so they had a new beginning. And everybody cheered and was thrilled, but some of the older fellows who had seen the glory of the Temple of Solomon, they cried, likely because it was smaller and not as imposing as the kingdom of Solomon, but at least they moved on. And I personally think there's a great lesson there in life, because things are always changing. You're always losing something and getting something else. And sometimes what you get isn't as big or fancy as what you had before, but at least you got something, and God got you what you need. So you have to be thankful and move on with that. So here we are. We'll start now in Ezra 7. Verse 1. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Mariah, son of Zariah, son of Uzi, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. So they're showing that Ezra has the genealogy going back to Aaron, who, as you know, was the first, Moses' brother, was the first person named chief priest over the Israelites. Verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and I don't think we'd had him yet. I think, although this is called the Book of Ezra, I don't think he was there the first six chapters. There were a bunch of other guys who led the Israelites. But anyway, here in chapter 7, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Verse 7, and there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which is in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. So it took 4 months to travel roughly 800 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. So again, verse 9, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. This is a great verse we've read for years. Ezra had prepared his heart. And in spite of all the laws and rules and commandments, the main thing is he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Verse 11. Now this is the copy of the letter that the King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord, of his statutes to Israel. Verse 12. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel, and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Verse 14, for as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand. and to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offer willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven, for why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of the house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. So in the early chapters, a group went under Cyrus the Persian and rebuilt the temple. And although they had a lot of grief from the locals, King Darius, who followed Cyrus, found Cyrus's decree and said, leave these guys alone so they can finish the temple. Then as of chapter 7, we have a new group going under the sponsorship of King Artaxerxes, who must have followed Cyrus and Darius. And there they go. Now let's go to chapter 8. Now a bunch of guys here. I don't think we're going to read them all. But there's a whole list. The chief of their fathers. This is the genealogy. In the reign of Artaxerxes the king. And it goes on and on. Verse 15. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eleazar, for Ariel, and Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief men, also for Joirib and Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief at the palace at Casiphia, and I told them what they should say unto Iddo, and to his brethren the Nethinims at the place Casiphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, the sons of Merari, and his brethren and sons, 20. Also the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites. The Nethinims were one of the groups. See, the Levites served the priests, and the Nethinims served the Levites. They had it pretty well organized. 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. So they ended up with a few hundred, basically temple servants. Verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. He listened. Verse 24, then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver, the gold, the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. Even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels, and 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold, of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, you are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are also holy. And the silver and gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye, keep them, until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priests and the Levites the way to the silver, gold, vessels, to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day, on the first month, to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with them was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas. And with them was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua. And Noadiah, the son of Binui, Levites. By number and by weight of everyone, and all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel. 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commission unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side river. This side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Chapter 9. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations. See, that's the problem with the Israelites. They always got dragged away after the false gods of the peoples and the lands they went into. And they did it again. So the people of Israel and the priests, the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even the Canaanites. And you see, there's different people. Like we read about Ruth and Rahab. They came out of pagan societies, but they chose to worship the true God. But then those are sort of the exceptions to the rule. Because in most cases, when people go and marry or spend a lot of time with the various groups that don't worship the true God, which makes them idolaters because they're worshiping idols other than the true God, most of the time when the Israelites interacted with them, they ended up going there. It'd be like you and I. We are walking down the street and we witness to a Buddhist, and instead of trying to bring the Buddhist to the true God, we decide to go become Buddhists. Well, that's the way the Israelites were during most of their history. There were wonderful believers who stood with the true God, but during most of the history of Israel, most of the people, from my reading, went after false gods, and here they were. Verse 2, for they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment, my mantle, plucked the hair of my head and my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. So there were those that did believe God, and they're the ones that came and assembled with him. Because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having torn my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the king of the land, kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, we were slaves in Egypt. Yet our God had not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall at Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other in their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons. Oh, so this is one of the commandments in the law. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek peace, their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserved and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst thou not be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant or escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. So it's interesting. That first group came under Cyrus, rebuilt the temple, but then they settled in and intermingled with the locals and apparently started worshiping their gods. Let me go back and see if it actually says that. I think it does. Yes, in verse 1, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations. So they got dragged into all the idolatrous things the locals did. Now, chapter 10. Now, when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before... And like I said, and we've seen in other records, they weren't supposed to intermingle with the people. But if they did in a way that didn't take them to worshiping false gods, God was able to overlook it. Like we saw with Rahab and... Ruth. That's definitely possible. But when they intermingle with the locals and then get dragged away from the true God into worshiping the idols, that's when God gets mad about it. And that's why I told them to stay away from the idolatrous groups, because they were dragging them away unto false gods. And throughout this whole time where they are attacking foreign nations, it's, from what I've read, one of two reasons. Either the foreign nation attacks them first and they're just defending themselves, or God knows that if they don't get rid of those foreign nations, they will bring them away into their idolatry. And in either way, God is protecting his people by getting rid of the idolatrous nations. He's either protecting them from being attacked by them, or he's protecting them from being dragged into idolatry. So, chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, and for they wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives, and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee, and we also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra, and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God, and went into the chamber of Johanan the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Verse 9, Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, so this was like 4 months after he'd arrived in Jerusalem. 4.5 months. It was the 9th month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, You have transgressed, have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Now, this is different than in the church administration, because I think it's in 1 Corinthians 7. It says if you married an unbeliever, you shouldn't put them away, because your good example might turn them to the Lord. But here, the word of the Lord was, or at least the word of the leader, assuming he's walking with God, was put away your wives and children. But that's not the way it is in this administration. But it does say to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be yoked together in a way that they can drag you down. But if you happen to marry somebody that does not believe in the true God and they don't drag you down, you are not to leave them. So now, therefore, verse 11, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said, with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we're not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of 1 day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregations stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in their cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tikva, were employed about this matter. And Meshullam and Shabbatai, the Levite, helped them. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated and sat down the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And among the sons of the priests that were found that had taken strange wives, namely of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak and his brethren, verse 19, and they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram a flock for the trespass, and then it goes on and talks about all these guys. You had priests, Levites, singers, other Israelites, all this big long list. In verse 11, chapter 11. Oh, we're done. So that takes care of the wonderful book of Ezra. One group went under King Cyrus, rebuilt the temple. Another group led by Ezra went under King, I believe it was Artaxerxes, and brought the vessels for worshiping the Lord from Babylon, and had to deal with the fact that many of those in Jerusalem had gone against the law and married women from the various foreign ethnic groups who worship false gods, and they worked together to change that and put away those wives and their children with them. Must have been a very heart-wrenching thing, but if that's what they needed to do to continue to worship the true God, that's what they had to do. And again, that was under the law. That's not the way things are now. Now, I think what we want to do is do just a little bit of Nehemiah. Because you see, they'd rebuilt the temple, and they'd worked through the, you know, getting rid of the foreign wives, but there was still no wall around the city. They still weren't protected. So we're going to have a third group now. We already had two groups going in the book of Ezra, and we're going to have a third group go, and there may be others, but definitely a third group here in Nehemiah. So let's start and just do a little bit of Nehemiah to get started, and then we'll do more next time. So Nehemiah 1:1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace. It's a city we often call Susa. It's a different thing. As I said, there were several capital cities, the kings of Babylon, Assyria, Persia, the Medes. They had several capital cities. One was Babylon, one was Nineveh, one was Susa. So he's here in Susa, or called Shushan the palace. Verse 2, then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. Because, as we saw, two groups of Jews had gone back and rebuilt the temple and started the sacrifices there to the true God. Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. They're getting a lot of grief from the neighbors. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou hast commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the words that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather thee from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are the servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So in the previous groups, we had leading men of the Israelites. We had leading priests of the Israelites. Here we have a bartender, the king's cupbearer, the guy that brings the king his wine. He, with the king's support and help, is going to lead the group to go back and rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And we'll read more about this next week, all the details, how God answers great prayers and great things and the challenges they have with the locals. And when they finally get the wall built, and then they have a sort of a week of summer school or family camp where they sit out and read the word all week. And it's a great time. So we'll read more about that next time. So, Father, thank you for your love, for your kindness, for these great saints here on the phone, as well as those that will listen to this and read about this in the future. We're so thankful you put so many great things in your word, and that we can read them, enjoy them, and walk with you every day. And we thank you for a great couple of weeks ahead, and for all those we love and pray for, that you just take care of them. And we have great health, strength, and prosperity looking to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.